So if you can open your words today, the Bible, to Ephesians chapter 1. We go back to Ephesians chapter 1, and then once you get there, I want you to turn to 1 Timothy also. Put a finger in Ephesians 1, and I want you then to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1 as well, if you got your Bibles. So 2 weeks ago, a little over 2 weeks ago, I was preparing for the message that I spoke of out of Ephesians chapter 1 2 weeks ago about every spiritual blessing in Christ. And as I was doing so, the thought crossed my mind, which I kind of understand that that's how God speaks to me sometimes. Thoughts cross my mind. And the thought crossed my mind is like, maybe I should do a series on the book of Ephesians. And I've never done that before. A book of the Bible before. I haven't ever gone through it. And so I was questioning. I was like, God, do you want me to do a whole book of the Bible? Or do you want me to continue to do it how I have been doing it? We've had a few series here, but not straight through a book of the Bible. And so as I'm seeking God about that last week while we were gone, I had a dream one morning. And in this dream, I was standing in front of a group of people, and I was giving a message. And every time I would walk away from the pulpit, and I'd be talking, and when I would come back to the pulpit, the Bible would be closed. And I'm like, oh, where was I at? Let's see. It's in my dream, I'm trying to figure out where I was at. And so I'd open it back up to wherever I was at, and I'd continue to preach, and then I would walk away from my Bible, and I'd come back, and I'm like, it's closed again. Like, why do I keep closing my Bible? This is frustrating to me. But the last time, before I woke up, the last time I went back to my Bible and I opened it up, I could see as clear as day the top of the Bible said 1 Timothy chapter 1. And so I woke up and I was like, okay, this is God's going to speak either something to me or he's going to give me the message that he wants to have spoken this Sunday. And so I opened up to 1 Timothy chapter 1, and I want you to go to verse 3 with me here. And this is what I read. I begin to read 1 Timothy 1, and I get to verse 3, and it says, as I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus. Stay there in Ephesus. And I was like, okay, God, you're confirming. This is creative. Thank you, Lord. You are telling me that we're supposed to stay there in the book of Ephesians, in Ephesus. And so that's what we're going to be talking about for the next several weeks, is we're going to work our way through the book of Ephesians. So I thought that was kind of a fun way to, God ever speak to you like that? He's like, takes another book of the Bible to tell you what he's trying to tell you in the book of the Bible that you're in. You know? I think that's pretty good. So we're going to work our way through that. And we're going to start today. We're going to start today. So we 2 weeks ago, we talked about Ephesians 1, 1 through 14. So we're going to start today in verse 15 of Ephesians 1. So you can read it with me here. It says, for this reason, Paul says, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the Spirit, capital S, of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. And I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. The title of my message is today, for us who believe, hope, riches, and power. Now, only one of those really sounds spiritual to me, at least in the context of what the world would say that they are. And they would be if that's all that we looked at was the context of what the world says about riches and power. But we're going to see today, we're going to work our way through this passage, and we're going to see today what God wants to show us about all three of those things. So verse 15, it says, for this reason, Paul says, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. What's the reason? What's the reason that he's talking about here? The reason, if you recall from 2 weeks ago, or if you look back at just a few verses, we can see that he was talking about every spiritual blessing in Christ. Every spiritual blessing in Christ. And Paul ended by talking about how the Gentiles, those he was specifically writing to, were included in all of these real hashtag blessings. They were included in that. And as they were included, that meant that they had the Holy Spirit, because those who are included are marked with the Holy Spirit, marked with the Holy Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing that's what's to come. And so Paul began to hear about the fruit, this fruit that was coming from their lives. What was the fruit? The fruit, it says there in verse 15, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love for all God's people. He starts hearing about this fruit, okay? The fruit that's coming from them. For when we believe the truth, when we believe the truth, it alters our actions. It alters how we live. And we begin to produce the fruit that comes from the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives. Amen. Amen. Here's the point. There will be evidence of the mark of the Holy Spirit in every believer's life. There will be. There will be. Not a tattoo mark, like some of the pictures I saw online when I was looking for pictures of hashtag blessed, where people had on their forearm here tattooed hashtag blessed. Not like that. No. But things about our lives that distinguish them from the rest of the world. Distinguished from the rest of the world. And as a result, Paul's response here was to give thanks continually for what was happening there. Have you ever given God thanks continually for anything? Spiritual or not? You know, you don't have to get too spiritual right now. But have you ever given God thanks continually for something? I think about motorcycles. Motorcycles come to mind. So when I met Kelly, I had a motorcycle. And I sold said motorcycle so that we could buy a house for our family. Priorities. I talked about that before. But ever since then, I wish that I could have another motorcycle again. I wish that I could have one. And as I grew and as I matured in the Lord, then I was like, okay, God, whenever you see fit, that would be great. If I could have a motorcycle again. And so it was so much of a blessing when Tim and Rhonda allowed me to borrow their motorcycle a few summers ago. It was so nice. I was just giving God thanks. I was like, God, thank you. And then I got to go riding with Tim on his motorcycle. Like, so he rode on his and I rode on mine, and we got to ride together. And I was like, I mean, pretty close to heaven. I mean, I wasn't in heaven, but I was pretty close to heaven. We'll put it that way. And all I did the whole time that I was riding, following Tim around the back roads around here, all I kept saying was, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. I said, God, you didn't have to give me this. I know this is just a want. It's not a need. But I thank you, God, for it. Thank you, Lord. That continued on that whole trip. I just continued to say, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. You know, and I think it's okay to practice thankfulness. I think it's okay to practice thankfulness, even about the things that we have that are wants in our lives. Because God gives us all of our needs, as well as some of our wants. We're thankful for that. But something I've been given thanks for the last 14 years, as a matter of fact, 14 years ago this month, Isaiah was 10 months old. He was 10 months old, and he seizured for an hour and a half. He seizured like his body was going like this. And his legs were doing the same thing like this for an hour and a half. It was freaky. It was really crazy. We were super, super scared. And what did? We began to pray. Began to pray in the Spirit. Began to pray. And God gave me this peace. God gave me this peace. And I remember in that doctor's office, as the ER surgeon's looking over him, and I'm seeing fear in his eyes, and I'm looking at my son, he gave me peace enough to say, thank you, in that moment. Thank you. That seems kind of weird, but this is what I said. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for my son. We only had 3 kids at that point. He was our youngest. Thank you, Lord, for my son. Thank you for the 10 months that I had him. And I give him back to you. If you want him, God, I give him back to you. Just like, I think about like how Abraham had to sacrifice Isaac, or at least go through the process of it, where Abraham gave Isaac back to the Lord, the son of the promise, his firstborn with his wife, with the wife of the covenant. As Abraham received Isaac back, Hebrews talks about, so I felt like that day I received Isaiah back. God gave me Isaiah. And so for the last 14 years, I have not stopped giving thanks for that. We may think that we are hashtag blessed because our children or our grandchildren are following the Lord. But the right word there is thankful. We are thankful. We are grateful. We are grateful for that kind of stuff. And the same as what Paul is saying here with being, we'll say, hashtag thankful. Hashtag thankful. When he hears that the church he planted years before is now producing fruit, he's hearing about it. Stephanie, you know, for those that we minister to on Wednesday nights, all of you kids club leaders, those you minister to, youth leaders, you know that when we get to see the fruit of all of the seeds that we sow, that it makes it all worth it. It makes it all worth it. Okay, let's move on. Verse 17. I keep asking, Paul says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Paul's response when he hears about this fruit is not just to be hashtag thankful, but to pray for more. To pray for more. He's like, they're getting it, but there's more. There's always more. The word know there in the Greek is the word epignosis, and it means coming to a knowledge of or insight. And so in this context, it's not just that Paul wants them to know God more, but to come to know more of God. To come to know more of God. Okay? Or to gain more insight about him. How many know to know someone better is to know more about them, right? To know someone better is to know more about them. While those who have made the decision to follow Jesus Christ, to believe in him, have received every spiritual blessing in Christ. That's past tense, Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Paul tells us here, there is more. There is more. There is always more. Isn't there, Christine? There's always more to know about God. Yes. Our lives are an adventure of discovering more about him every single day. Like Pastor Gary used to say, good morning, Lord. What's the adventure that you have for us today? You know, I confess I don't always wake up that way. But I wish I did. I think it's a good attitude to have. His mercies are new every day. There's something new to find out about God every single day of our lives. There's also mention there of the Trinity in verse 17 there. He talks about the glorious Father, or God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, capital S, that brings wisdom and revelation as well as the fullness of Christ into our lives. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. But just for now, just remember, there's always more. But wait, there's more. But wait, there's more. Verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know or comprehend the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us to believe. Last month I shared at a Thousand Generations Chapel about how our eyes are the lamp to our body. And what we take in through our eyes either brings in light to our body or darkness into our body. We talked about being careful, little eyes, what you see, right? Being careful. We can be careful, big eyes, what we see as well. What is it that we're taking in? What is it that we're watching? You know, we can take in what is of the light or take in what is of the darkness. But here Paul is referring to not what we take in through our physical eyes, but through the eyes of our heart, our spiritual eyes. What is it that we take in? That we would be enlightened, or that God would illuminate the scriptures. And how does God enlighten us or illuminate the scriptures to us? How does he do that? The Holy Spirit. Somebody say that? What was it again? Oh, Holy Spirit, yes. Good job, you guys. Good job, good job, good show, good show. But meaning by enlightening or by illuminating, that we would be able to know or to comprehend these three great truths. The hope to which we are called. The riches of his glorious inheritance. And his incomparably great power for us who believe. That last part is crucial, guys. For us who believe, there is all of this. There is all of this. Our hope and calling. Our riches of a glorious inheritance in the saints. An incomparably great power for us, but only if we believe. Only if we believe. Do you really believe that what you believe is really real? That's the Truth Project speaking right there, the Truth Project curriculum. Do you really believe? Because if you do, our beliefs will determine our actions. Our beliefs determine our actions. If we say we believe but our actions are unchanged, we show that we don't truly believe what we say that we believe. I could believe this, what I'm going to say next. And I can say this to you. I could say, I believe that today, when I leave this building, a lion is going to jump out and attack me. I could believe that. I could. But how foolish would I be if I said I believe that and I left this building, right? How foolish would I be? They don't line up together, do they? No, instead, wisdom would tell me, hey, somebody with a conceal and carry, would you go out there and shoot down that lion so I don't have to deal with that, right? That'd be wisdom right there. But here's the point. We got to get a handle on what we believe before we can get a handle on the hope of our calling, the glorious riches of the inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power that is available to all of us who believe. All of us who believe. Do we truly believe that what we believe is really real? If not, we may only believe so long as we see a sign or a wonder or a miracle. And if we do, that may only last a day or so. You think about it in John chapter 6, when Jesus, all the followers were listening to him, and he began to feed them with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and they saw this amazing miracle. 5,000 men plus women and children were fed with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And everybody's like, whoa, this is amazing. I've never seen this before. But a day or two later, they find Jesus on the other side of the sea. And what are they doing? They're asking him to do something. What are they asking him to do? It's okay. I read ahead. Let me help you out here today. They asked him for a sign so that they could do what? See it and believe. See it and believe. Many unbelievers need those signs and wonders and miracles to come to the Lord. But we shouldn't, as a believer, continue to need to have signs and wonders and miracles in order to continue to believe. Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. So we need to move beyond that. It has its place, and it bolsters our faith when we see signs and wonders and miracles, and they're still happening today. And we are thankful for that. We are thankful that we see God in real time today. Amen? But we shouldn't need to rely on them in order to believe. Verse 19, Paul continues talking about that power. He says, that power is the same as the mighty strength God or he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion. Can you imagine having that kind of power available to you? Just the power to say, I'm going to raise that person from the dead. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to put this person in a place of authority and power over other people. Can you imagine just having that power? Just being able to flippantly do that? Something from maybe from a superhero movie. Superheroes can do that kind of stuff. You know, sometimes I wonder. I mean, I like superhero movies. But sometimes I wonder if our desire to connect with those superheroes isn't really just a revealing of a deep longing in our hearts to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Is that really what we're looking for? To be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And yet that power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead, Paul says, is for us who believe. It's for us who believe. Meaning we can find it coming from the lives of those who believe in Christ and are found in Christ. Amen? Yes. Like those believers in Ephesus that Paul was writing to. He's hearing about the things that are happening. He's hearing about it. And he's saying, this is good. This is of the Lord. This is of the Lord. So that power is not just for us to be raised to new life. That's the power that he used to raise Christ from the dead. And it's the power that he uses to raise us to new life. To be able to put off the old, to put on the new, to be made new, and to be able to utilize that power that the Holy Spirit puts in our lives. So it's not just to be raised to new life, but it's also seen through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It is through this power working through us that God brings transformation. God brings transformation. We don't transform ourselves, church. Judy Krebs down the street, I was talking to her earlier this week, and she had one of our little blue Be Transformed cards, and she's like, I keep that at my desk because I need to be reminded that I need to be transformed. I need to let myself be transformed. It's this power that works through us. It doesn't just raise us from the dead or bring transformation, but it delivers us. It delivers us from bondage. It delivers us from addiction. Delivers us from oppression. It delivers us. That same power working in us brings healing. Not just to heal this little cut on my finger, but to heal our hearts. Thanks, God. You gave me a good illustration there. But to heal our hearts from the things that we go through, to heal us from abuse, to heal us from those things, those oppression, all those things that we need deliverance of. He brings healing through the power of his Holy Spirit working in our lives. It's that same power working in us that God illuminates our understanding of who he is. This power does a lot more than just give us the ability to be raised from the dead. It's the same power that God uses to give strength to us for us to live for him. That we don't have to muster up the strength in of ourselves. We don't have to rely on our own just man up or woman up and, I'm going to make it through this and I'm going to tough it out because I'm a man or I'm a woman. Right? We don't do that on our own. His power in us gives us strength to live for him. To live for him. His power is what makes us come alive in a lot of different ways. I heard this analogy here recently. Think of an old steam engine train. You look at a steam engine train just sitting there. It doesn't have any steam running through it at the moment. And it sits there and it's cold and it's lifeless. And it's this big, huge, strong machine, but there's nothing happening in it, right? Until the steam is released. And when that steam is released, then all of those inner parts begin to work. They begin to function. They begin to move. And you see this cold, lifeless hunk of steel and a bunch of other types of metal that I don't even know would all go into a train to make them. Should ask Tom. All these different things. You see all of that stuff begin to work together, and you see that train lurch to life and strength. And pull whatever the thing is that it's trying to pull behind it. We are fragile clay jars. We're not made of steel. We're fragile clay jars. But Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4 that we have this treasure in jars of clay, fragile jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. It's from God and not from us. What a picture of the life of a believer. That we would be these feeble vessels, here today and gone tomorrow. A mist and a vapor. And yet God sees value in each of our lives and chooses to dwell in us. Chooses to dwell in us. Lori, what do you think about that? That's pretty awesome, yeah. Yeah. Chooses to live in us, giving us his power to live transformed, delivered, and free lives for him today. Hallelujah. And not only to do that for us today, but to reach those around us with these rivers of living water that Jesus said would come when his Holy Spirit was given. Did you know that you are a conduit of rivers of living water? For not for yourself only, but for others as well. Think about how many things a river touches. Okay? Not just one person, but lots of things. Lots of things. Let's wrap it up today. Verse 22, God placed all things under his feet, Jesus' feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Here's the point. Christ is the fullness that we all need. He's the fullness that we all need in order to be whole and to be complete. But he fills each one of us through the Holy Spirit. Each one of us through the Holy Spirit. The one who marks us and is the guaranteed deposit in us. We don't need any FDIC insurance here. Just praise. Just praise. Guarantees our future inheritance as heirs of God and co-heirs of Christ until the day of redemption for those who are God's possession. And we could think that Paul is saying here in this fullness, the church is his body, the fullness of him. We could be thinking that the church is the end-all, be-all of the fullness of Christ. And that's, when I first read it, that's what I thought as well. But in the church, we don't always see the fullness of Christ, do we? We don't always see the fullness of Christ. And so scholars think that Paul is saying here that the church is meant to be a place where people come to be filled with the one who can fill all things in all ways. Yeah, yeah. A place where those who come in start from a place of emptiness at our front doors. Start from a place of emptiness and begin to devote themselves to the four things the initial church did. The apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, hanging out with one another, to the breaking of bread, doing life with one another, sharing meals with one another, and to prayer. And they begin to do that, and what happens when they do that is they begin to get filled up. They begin to be filled with the fullness of Christ. We begin to get filled with that, the one who can fill us all with his fullness. But this filling to fullness, this every spiritual blessing in Christ, and the hope and the inheritance and the power from God all start at the same place. For us who believe. For us who believe. For it is when we believe. It is when we believe, and that comes after hearing the gospel message. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When we believe, we are marked then with the Holy Spirit. And this mark, not a hashtag blessed tattoo, but this mark, through this mark, we receive every spiritual blessing in Christ. We receive the hope to which we are called. Did you know that every single one of us is called? Every single one of us is called to hope in Christ Jesus, the hope to which we are called. That's a calling that we all share. Then we have individual callings underneath that. But the hope to which we are called, we have hope in Jesus Christ. We receive every spiritual blessing. We receive the hope in our calling. We receive a rich inheritance and power, power from God, power. The question we need to ask ourselves is, do we believe? Do we really believe that what we believe is really real? As we close today, many of us have heard the gospel message. Many, maybe all of us, have responded. Maybe even multiple times. But sometimes, though, we got to surrender again. I was talking to a lady this week, and in the course of our conversation, God led me to ask her, "Have you made the decision to follow Jesus Christ?" And her response was, "Oh, yes, many years ago." But I looked at her life, and I just didn't see the fruit of what she was talking about coming from her life. So God led me to ask that question. And that was her response. And what the Holy Spirit put next to my heart was, sometimes, though, we can get off the path. We need to come back to that place of surrender in Him. We need to come back to that place of surrender in Him. I think about how we're in a dry season right now. Granted, we've got a little bit of rain, but you look at the grass outside and you see the brown blades of grass. Hoping that changes before you guys start doing the CEF 5-day clubs. You see the brown blades of grass. You see how they're bent up. They're burnt up. They snap, crackle, and pop when you stand on them. You know? And maybe you can relate to that. Maybe your life looks like that right now in this season. Maybe you feel like one of those. You look at that blade of grass and you're like, oh man, that's like me. I feel like I'm just burnt up. I feel like I'm in a dry season right now. And I need, like the grass outside needs, I need the Holy Spirit to pour out a drenching rain on my life today. A drenching rain. As we close today, we're going to pray. And we're going to resurrender our lives to Him today. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about resurrendering our lives to Him today. Will you stand with me today? Father, we just give you thanks for this message that you wanted us to hear today. We thank you that we can be reminded that we have every spiritual blessing in Christ. But that's not where you stop, God. There's more. There's more that you have for us. God, that we do have hope. That we do have a glorious inheritance. And that we do have power right now. Incomparably great power. We have that as believers. But God, sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget. Maybe we don't truly believe that what we believe is really real. Sometimes we get off path a little bit. Sometimes we try to do things in our own measure. We try to work things out in our own strength, in our own energy. But we can be reminded today that it's not by power or by might, but by your Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And so, God, we're praying today. We're praying today in this dry season. Maybe there's one in here, maybe there's many in here. In this dry season of our lives, we're choosing today to surrender everything back to you again. To believe again. To live again. It's like in that old movie, It's a Wonderful Life. When George Bailey at the end, he's praying, he's saying, please God, I want to live again. I want to live again. God, that you would awaken those things that have gone cold in our hearts. And so Lord, today, as an act of worship, as we end the service today, as an act of worship, we declare to you today, we are surrendering our lives to you again. Just declare that in your own words to Him. Father, we surrender. I surrender my life to you again today. Lord, I want to live not only in every spiritual blessing, but to live in that hope of the calling of my life. To live in that understanding of that inheritance, the riches of His glorious inheritance. And then to access that power. That power that helps me not only to live new life, but God, to live a transformed life. To live a life that is set free from bondage and oppression and addiction. To live a life that is set free so that I can have your strength that helps me live for you rather than trying to do it on my own strength. Lord, we surrender to you today. We surrender, God. Would you see hearts in here that are ready to receive a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit today? God, just that you would pour out a drenching flood on each one of us today.